out, number 619, stand up for Jesus. And if your outward man is able to stand up, go ahead and do it with me. If it's just your inward man that can stand up, we'll take that too. Okay? All right, 619, stand up for Jesus. Stand up.
I ain't worked a month of Sundays. I'm dirty, dead, broke, and so ashamed. I need bread and water, man, that's all I need. Bread and water, a place to rest my feet. I ain't too proud to get down on my knees if the bread and water's free. Said you're always welcome at this table. She said, brother, you look like you could use a friend. And there's no need to pay if you're not able, 'cause even Jesus was a homeless man. Well, she opened up the Word and started reading about the Savior and the woman at the well. She said, it ain't for me to judge this life you're leading. There's only two things can save your soul. His head, he kind of choked up. They spoke every word of a sinner's prayer. He had closed his eyes, and when he opened, he found bread and water.
Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And we want to start tonight at verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. Referring to verse 22 and 21, where it tells us Moses sprinkled with blood the tabernacle and all the vessels. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, referring to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the tabernacle, the priesthood. I'll say it again, when Moses did that and dedicated the temple, the tabernacle, he sprinkled all over the tabernacle. You know, the tabernacle was beautifully made. Beautiful. And the high priests and Aaron's sons were standing there with white garments. Woo. And what did Moses do? With hyssop, he dipped in the blood and sprinkled all the furniture in the tabernacle and the priests themselves, dedicating that whole tabernacle to God. And that tabernacle is a pattern of things in heaven. And the Old Testament is typical or symbolic of the actual temple and tabernacle up in heaven. And so verse 23 continues on. I'll read it again. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. Necessary because God told them that's how to do it. It's going to be through the blood. And the principle of blood necessary for the remission of sins was set up once again. I won't say for the first time, because that was done all the way back there in the garden when man first sinned. But the principle of blood necessary for remission of sins once again vividly displayed in the Old Testament there when Moses did that. Now look at the rest of the verse. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. That's something, folks. That's really great right there. The heavenly tabernacle, where God is dealing with man's sin directly, right there. Because in the Old Testament, he was dealing with sins typically, looking forward to the cross. But up in heaven, God's dealing with sin directly, actually, reality being done right there. And if that which was typical was necessary, that blood be sprinkled all over everything, how much more then it happening up there in heaven with better sacrifices? Because we've already seen that animal blood will not make the comers thereunto perfect. But a better sacrifice would, and that better sacrifice, folks, is my Savior, Jesus Christ, who I like to present to you all the time. I don't want to talk about anybody else but the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's the only thing worthy to talk about. If we do talk about other things surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ, it always comes back to him personally, doesn't it? We could talk about church. We can talk about things that God has done, maybe through us and everything. But doesn't it always have to come back to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ? It comes right back to that. All the time. Verse 24. For Christ. See, there's the answer. Better sacrifices? For Christ is not entered into the holy places. Notice it says places, plural. I believe not only the front part of the tabernacle proper, but the holy of holies as well. The holy places made with hands, which are the figures or types of the true. The true is the one up in heaven. Now, I've always thought about this. I said it before. I just want to say it again. I've always thought about, okay, what's going on up there in heaven? Is there a tabernacle, you know, sitting there? I kind of believe it's this way. After many years, I think it's just Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He's the tabernacle. He's the brazen altar. He's the lamb on the altar. It's his blood. Then you go on into the holy place there. The table of showbread. He's the bread of life. The candlestick, the other, he's the light of the world. The altar of incense going up as a mediator type thing. He's the mediator. The veil. It even says his body is the veil. And you have to go through Jesus' body hanging on that cross in order to get into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. If you go through that veil, and didn't it divide from top to bottom when he gave up the ghost on the cross? Yes. For the way into the presence of God was made possible. He is the Ark of the Covenant. He is the fulfillment of the law inside that Ark. He is the manna. He's the manna from heaven in the pot. He is Aaron's rod that budded, the resurrection. And he has the authority like Aaron did to be our priest. He is the mercy seat. God said way back then, that's where I'm going to meet with you, Israel, at that mercy seat. That's the, you know, if you wanted to pinpoint the exact spot, if you had a GPS or whatever, you know, it would be right there on that mercy seat in the tabernacle later on in the temple. Right there. And I'm going to tell you, sinner, listening to me on the internet, sinner, you're not saved yet. I'm going to tell you where you will meet God. You will meet God where God will meet you. And that's at the cross. And it's through the person of Jesus Christ shedding his blood for you. And I believe up in heaven that mercy seat is Jesus. And it's his blood sprinkled on that mercy seat. I believe he presented his blood there to the Father after he rose up from the grave. And well, the cherubim's okay. They're the angelic beings that protect the holiness of God. I won't say that Jesus is the cherubims, but you know, he's higher than the cherubims. And once those cherubims see the price paid, I believe they're no longer looking down, but they're raising their wings up in praise to the Father, because the way has been paid for in full. And sinners, washed and redeemed in the blood of the Lamb, can enter into the Holy of Holies without the angels striking them dead, because they've been bought with a great price. As it says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Folks, he intercedes for us. And we are accepted in the beloved, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 tells us. I like verses like that. Accepted in the beloved. Isn't that beautiful? Not accepted because your name's on the church roll. Not accepted because just before you die you had last rites. No, accepted in the beloved. And we are secured forever by him there. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. If you just go there. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And it goes on all the way down to verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There it is. He intercedes for us. He ever liveth to make intercession. We're accepted in the beloved. We are secured forever by him there. That's what his work is. You know, he's still serving us. We sing that one song, you know, where we get down to the end there. I think it's the Brethren We Have Met to Worship. And it talks about he'll gird himself and serve us. I have a hard time finishing that song all the time. Because it just doesn't seem right that he should have to keep doing that. It should be me serving him. But I believe he's going to do that work of ministering for us forever and ever and ever. It'll always be a reminder that it is he who has done the work and not we ourselves. Verse 25 through 28, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. I like, you know, the Bible is so detailed, you know. God doesn't waste words in the Word of God here. He entereth, the high priest, you know, Aaron, his sons, entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. That's so different. My Lord goes in there with his own blood. He pays the price. Verse 26, For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The end of the world has reference to when Jesus came here and walked among us and then went to that cross and died there for our sins. It's referred to as the end of the world. Hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. There it is, folks. Appear the second time, right there. Without sin unto salvation. The once for all sacrifice of Messiah is better than all the sacrifices of the First Testament. He suffered once. And that's it. Verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world he suffers. He suffered one time. And it says there, when he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, all that men would realize, that's why Jesus came the first time. It wasn't to be a good example, to be just a great teacher. He was that. He was a great example. But he came the first time to put away sin. Something men don't want to deal with. But God dealt with it and took care of it. And he put away sin. Do you know there's not a single soul in hell for whom Christ did not already pay the price for their sin? Men go to hell because they reject the revelation of Christ coming and dying for their sins. You say, well, some people have never heard. I think we'll understand it better by and by. That there's been a rejection of the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'm not going to stand here and say, I know exactly how that's accomplished. I'm just going to take God's word at it. I know that even myself as a youngster, thinking about eternal things and so forth, I could have said no, turned my back on that. It was coming to me, and God gives every man that opportunity. I don't know exactly how that takes place, but the Bible says he does. And he came once in the end of the world, appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. not some other animal, like it says up there in verse 25, with blood of others. No, he offered himself as a sacrifice. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. That's an explanation of just what happens to every single one of us. It's appointed unto men once to die. I don't know, all these faith healers and that, I guess they really should never die, right? But it's appointed unto men once to die. You're going to die. All right, Pastor, you're really downing me here tonight. You're depressing me here tonight. But you know, the truth is, you're all going to die. We're all going to die. Unless the rapture takes place. And we love that blessed hope. And I hope and pray that happens before I have to go through the process of dying. But if it doesn't, we're all going to die. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. The comparison is, let's go over and see Jesus here. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Why did Jesus die? Because he took your sin and my sin upon himself. Why do you die? Why is it appointed unto men once to die? Because we're sinners. And the wages of sin is death. And it brings death. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That's why Jesus died. You know, he never would have died if he did not take all of my sicknesses and diseases and my sin upon himself. And bear it there, like Peter says in 1 Peter 1:24. The Lord hath laid upon him. Well, that's in Isaiah. But here he bare our sins on the cross. And by his stripes ye are healed. That's why he died. No other reason. But because of my sin and your sin. I hope you all sit here tonight and say, oh. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of me. You should say that. Me, you know. Put yourself right there. It says many, but it includes you. And oh, there are many, aren't there? Today, there's 7 billion people living on this earth for whom Jesus Christ offered himself to bear their sins. And unto them that look for him. Now, I'm going to tell you who they are. They are the redeemed. They are the ones who have received this work that Jesus Christ has done. Unto them that look for him. And you know what? That's what we were all talking about here tonight in that one song about the signs of the times. We're looking for him. We're looking for him. We look for him. He shall appear. Shall he appear the second time? Okay, the second time. The first time was back there in Bethlehem, born of a virgin. He's coming again the second time without sin. Oh, that's good. I'm so glad. We're not going to have to go through some kind of judgment for sin. He's going to come back without sin unto salvation. Or deliverance. No more sin. It's been dealt with the first time he came. The second time he comes, it will be without sin for those who look for him. So we're not talking here about the Battle of Armageddon or the Great White Throne. We're talking about the believers looking for him to come. And I can only equate this with the rapture of the church. We're looking for him to come, and he's going to come a second time without sin unto salvation. Now, I know that carries on through the 7 years of tribulation and when all Israel gets saved, and he's going to work with them as well. His second coming will be without sin even then unto salvation for Israel and the Gentiles who believe in him. But I'm looking for the Lord to come at any moment. Without sin, unto salvation. And that salvation there, I don't believe it has reference to my own personal salvation. I'm already saved. Now I'm looking for him to come. But deliverance. Deliverance from everything that I'm in this world with now. Deliverance from this body. Remember preaching on that last week? The outward man perisheth. I'm waiting to just rid myself of this old corruptible thing. Without sin unto deliverance or salvation. Looking forward to it. Well, the once for all sacrifice of Messiah is better than all the sacrifices of the First Testament. Because they had to be constantly offered, often. He only had to suffer one time. And secondly, let's go into chapter 10, and we're going to see the blood of animals cannot take away sin. Now, I know we've said this before already in Hebrews, but you know, the Hebrew writer writes it again. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. See, it was just a shadow. It was a shadow of the real thing. But no one could see that real thing. They could only see the shadow of good things to come. I'm going to tell you what the good things are. All the things that Jesus Christ has accomplished and completed for our benefit. Those are the good things to come. And not the very image of the things. Can never, with those sacrifices which they offered, notice here, year by year, okay? Over and over and over and over again, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And it gives a reason why those animal sacrifices could not make them perfect. Because the shadow is not the substance. And then in verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. The worshipper's conscience was still plagued by new sin since the last sacrifice they offered. And it just kept on going on like that all through the Old Testament till you come to the New Testament. In my blood, Jesus says. And then that stopped. That was no longer necessary. That we offer animals over and over and over again. For now, we have a provision that purges the conscience. You know what happened? You know, a sinner in the Old Testament would bring his lamb to the temple or the tabernacle. The priest would say, all right, now put your hands on the head of this lamb. All right, go over all the sins you've done. Yes. You know, what a job the priest had, you know. I wonder if they ever, you did that? You know. Oh, priest, please don't tell anybody else. Don't tell your wife. You know, there are priests that can't tell their wife because they don't have a wife. They're celibate. No, they were married back then. Don't tell your wife. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, no, on that lamb, all their sins were put. And then they'd watch that priest kill that lamb and pour the blood on the brazen altar. And for whatever reason the offering was being brought, there were several different kinds of offerings. It would be done a certain way, specific way, to take care of the sin of that offerer, that worshiper. And no sooner did he walk back to his tent, he was already struck with the bad thoughts and the evil thoughts that had already crowded in to his conscience. I'm going to have to do that again. Back he goes. Maybe the next week, maybe the next month, to do the same thing again. I would suppose that when things were really going good spiritually for Israel, you'd have to stand in line. Stand in line for all the other sinners in front of you to take care of their problem. And maybe even wishing that somehow you could get into the front of the line and get this done. And now that causes your conscience to have sin. Oh boy. Oh, what a time. And yet it was God's way to prepare them for a better sacrifice to come, a better lamb to come. It was God's way to prepare them. It was a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things. Can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. If so, there would be no need to be offering them like that. But because of the conscience, they had to keep bringing these sacrifices. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Every year. Year in and year out. Oh, this gets difficult. By the time you come to the books like Malachi, the priests had become tired of making those sacrifices. They get tired of it. Isaiah talks about it a little bit as well. And they complain to God about the sacrifices. Yeah, I can understand. It's still wrong. The thought is wrong, but I can understand it. I tell you what, it is so good. It is such a blessing to be able to stand here tonight in front of you. And I know you have the same blessing as well as I have. But it's such a blessing to stand here tonight knowing my conscience has been purged from sin. And I am not in fear that sin will condemn me. I'm free. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm bought with the blood of the Lamb. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm enjoying the thought. Even though there are times when I know that I've done things that displease my Savior and the Father. But there is no way I can be separated from the love of God. It is secure. The work has been done. And as we'll see when we get down a little bit further, if you do want to teach that his sacrifice was not sufficient, then he's got to come again and do it again. And that's where Catholicism steps in with their Catholic Mass. Every day they sacrifice Christ again. You know what? When people teach insecure salvation, they are saying that Christ's death is equal in effect to the Old Testament animal sacrifices. That his death is no better than the blood of bulls and goats and the heifer. No better than that. Oh boy. No. This is the reason for the Catholic Mass. They can't see the complete work of Christ, that it's all done. This is why in Pentecostal movement, revival meetings and so forth, where they encourage people who may have apostatized and gone away and fell off and fallen from grace, or all kinds of doctrines they want to say, what does that do to the work of Christ on the cross for them? When they originally had trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What does that say? It says it's not enough. And that's heresy. That's false doctrine. That's blasphemy of my Savior and his work on the cross. I walk away from that cross completely saved and redeemed. No doubt about it. And I don't need some Pentecostal revival meeting to get me saved again. I don't need to go up and pray through and get a baptism. I got that baptism once for all. The day I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The impossibility of animal blood to take away man's sin, verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Folks, what a verse. Again,
realize that the writing of the book of Hebrews, the temple is still standing. The priests are still there in Jerusalem, taking the offerings. They're still selling turtle doves and pigeons in the marketplace around the temple for people to buy for their offerings to give. When Jesus was here, he knocked over the money changers' tables. Remember, he went in there, cleaned it out. I believe a type of how he's going to do away with that, the necessity of that. Plus, he's also showing the wickedness of the men selling offerings unto the Lord and probably taking more than they should. And you know, they couldn't stop him. He made a cord and he drove them out of his temple. They're going to build another temple, and I hear that they're already, they got some of the pieces and everything ready to go. The Lord is going to come into his holy temple, the Bible says. And oh, what a cleaning is going to go on then. First of all, Antichrist is going to be dealt with. And then he's going to clean that temple. And they're going to come worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, not with animal sacrifices, but with the hands that are already pierced. And they're going to weep and mourn over him when they see him coming. Every tribe apart, every family apart, every person apart, weeping. Weeping because they've rejected him all these years. And he's the answer. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Well, you know, when this says it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin, that's like a slap in the face to the worshipers still going to the temple. That what kind of talk is this? That the blood of bulls and goats is of no value here now to take away sins. But they have another way. It's through the cross. It's through Jesus Christ. And we'll get to that as we go into the next verses, right on through chapter 10. And I tell you what, don't miss the next episode. All right. Hey, these things are so blessed. So wonderful. Christian, I don't know about you, but this just... you may not see the excitement in my outward man, but I'll tell you what, that inward man that's renewed day by day is just bubbling over with joy and rejoicing. Wow, it's just a good thing. I don't know if anyone is thinking of a song that we should sing to end the service. You think about that, we'll take that. But I'm telling you what, I want you to go out of here tonight saying it is good to be saved. It is good to have that one sacrifice. It's good to know it's for sure and no doubt about it. What else do you want to do? You want to go back to the shadow of good things to come? Or do you want to grab a hold of the good thing? That's Jesus Christ and all he has done for us. Anybody got a Marge?
Nothing but the blood, 164.
Amen. 164, did you say?
Yeah.
164. What can wash away my sin? The blood of many bulls and goats. Boy, just think at one time that was it. That's the Old Testament. The New Testament says nothing but the blood of Jesus. All right, let's stand and sing number 164. Thank you, Marge. That's a good one. Number 164, nothing but the blood.
Hey, it's good to have the newest member of Ray Street Baptist Church here with us tonight, and that's Mike Callahan. He just joined up with us last week, and we're glad to have him with us. And let's serve the Lord together, right? Us helping him, him helping us, all of us together serving the Lord.
Till Jesus comes. Till Jesus comes. May that be tonight. That'd be fine with me. All right, Brother Mike, we'll see how you can pray. All right. If you'd close in a word of prayer, brother.
Dear Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the pastor. We thank you for your word. Jesus, most of all, we thank you for your blood. The complete sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. We pray, Father, that if somebody here doesn't know you, that they be touched and moved to make that decision, to trust in your blood. We pray that there are people on the internet who don't know you, who would also do the same, so that your name would be glorified. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.